Now, at this stage, two questions very likely arise in your minds. First, if one cannot join the Western Buddhist order by paying a subscription, how can one join it? And two, what is the relation between the Western Buddhist order and the friends of the Western Buddhist order? I'm going to try to answer each of these questions in turn. First of all, how does one join the Western Buddhist order? One joins it by going for refuge. Going for refuge to the three jewels. And the three jewels are, of course, the Buddha, the enlightened teacher, the Dharma, the teaching which he gave, the Sangha, the community of disciples practicing the teaching and following the path. The Buddha represents the ideal, the highest ideal, the ideal of human enlightenment. And going for refuge to the Buddha means committing oneself to the realization of that ideal. Means reorienting one's life, one's whole life, in that direction. The Dharma, or teaching, represents the path leading to the realization of the ideal. It's in principle the sum total of all the methods, all the practices that help one in one's personal development, in one's realization of the ideal. So going for refuge to the Dharma means having actual practical recourse to those methods. It means actually practicing Buddhism, practicing the Dharma. And the Sangha, of course, represents the spiritual community, the community of those who have gone for refuge, who've committed themselves to the ideal of human enlightenment, and who are actually having recourse to methods leading to its realization. And going for refuge to the Sangha means associating with such people, being in communication with such people, learning from them, being inspired by them. So the going for refuge is the central act of the Buddhist life. It's going for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, that makes one a Buddhist. And one could even go so far as to say that one's whole Buddhist life is in a way a progressive deepening of the going for refuge. And this going for refuge is threefold. We go for refuge with body, speech, and mind. It's not enough to think and to feel that you are going for refuge. It's not enough even to say that you are going for refuge. You have to enact also the going for refuge. And this enactment of the going for refuge is what we call the ordination ceremony. And this ceremony is twofold. There's a private part and there's a public part. There's what we call the private ordination and what we call the public ordination. The first, of course, takes place in private, that is to say, alone with the head of the order. And one repeats after him the words of the three refuges. In other words, one says, to the Buddha for refuge I go, to the Dharma for refuge I go, to the Sangha for refuge I go. And at the same time, one undertakes to observe the 10 precepts of ethical behavior. 3 precepts refer to bodily actions, 4 refer to speech, and 3 to the mind. And between them they represent the purification and the transformation of one's entire being, consisting as it does of body, speech, and mind. And at this ceremony, at this private ordination ceremony, one is given a new name, because one is now spiritually reborn, having committed oneself with body, speech, and mind to the three jewels. So the private ordination signifies one's individual commitment to the three jewels. This is why it's a private ceremony. It signifies the fact that one has made up one's mind that one is going to develop. And one has made it up quite independently. Independently of any pressure, any influence. One's made up one's mind as an individual. And one's prepared, if necessary, to go it alone. You're in that sort of mood, that sort of state of mind, that you don't mind, you don't care if nobody else in the world is going to go for refuge. If nobody else in the world even wants to develop. That is what you want to do. This is what you've made up your minds to do. So you are going to do it. You have this sort of resolution, this sort of determination. And the private ordination signifies just that. One's determination, if necessary, to go it alone. The public ordination usually takes place the following day. And it takes place, of course, in public, that is to say, in the presence of other people, other members of the order. Ideally, at least 5 order members, as well as mitras and friends. What mitras and friends are, I shall explain in a few minutes' time. So here too, one repeats the words of the going for refuge after the head of the order or his representative. And again, one undertakes to observe the 10 precepts. And one is invested on that occasion with a white kesa, such as you see some of the friends here this evening, including the chairman, actually wearing. So the public ordination represents the fact that, though one was prepared to go at it alone, one is not in fact alone. One is a member, one has become a member of a spiritual community. One is now a member of the order. One has become a member of a community of spiritually committed individuals. Originally, the Western Buddhist order was conceived of as a lay order. That is to say, not as a monastic order. The idea was that people should commit themselves to the 3 jewels and work on their personal development within the context, within the framework of ordinary family life, full-time job, and so on. Of course, a job that was in accordance with right livelihood. However, as time went on, more and more order members wanted to give a fuller expression to their commitment. Wanted to give, if possible, all their time and all their energy to the spiritual life and to the work of the friends, the work of the order. And they found that it was very difficult to do this within the framework of family life, a regular job, and so on. So at present, there are various kinds of order member. Some order members are married, some are unmarried. Some have full-time jobs, some have part-time jobs, some have no job at all. And the latter are usually full-time workers for the movement. And they may receive their actual living expenses from the FWBO. Some order members, again, live at home with their families. Others live in communities of various kinds. A few live on their own. But all are members of the order. All are united by a common commitment, their commitment to the 3 jewels, their commitment to personal development on their own and in association with other people. So it's no longer possible to speak of the order as a lay order. At the same time, it isn't a monastic order. Perhaps it represents a new kind of development, a development more in accordance with the original spirit of Buddhism, the original spirit of the Dharma. Now,